I thank God for how good He's been to me. They were singing that song. It reminded me of a time a little while back that I was in a valley. I was in a bad place, and you'll never know what that song. I played it over and over and over again, over and over and over again, and I tell you what. Before long, I started crying. Walked around the house crying, went around crying every which way. But I tell you what, God brought me out of that. I thank God for that song. There's never a time. There's nobody can stand up and say anything that there was not a time that He's not been faithful. All of God's children know that He's faithful. All of God's children know that He'll always be faithful because His Word says that He's faithful. I tell you, it's been an honor, and I've just enjoyed being here. It's revived me. It's just been a blessing to be here. And last night I talked a little bit and spoke. What God put on my heart was, it's kind of preaching to young people. It's preaching to all of us about the warnings that can come when you start listening to the devil and doing what the devil would have you to do. And He started giving me a message today about one, and this is going to be to the backbone of the church. You're here. You're here. Brother BJ's been telling me people have been saved here recently. God built this church. That's how I got to know all of you through all that. God put all this together. He's got a big plan, and His plan don't have any borders, state lines, or anything else. And now you're going and you're getting ready to do the second phase, I guess you'd say, over here. And this is getting ready to happen. And I was thinking about God's blessing. I tell you, God's blessed these services. God's blessed your church. God's doing all these things. The Holy Ghost is all in this place. Everything's going good. And the Lord told me this. He said, I wanted you to preach last night what the devil can do. Now I want to warn you tonight of what the flesh can do. What the flesh can do. I want you to pray for me. I've asked the Lord all day, you sure it's what you want me to preach? But it is. The church is on fire. You can feel the Holy Ghost in here. The devil don't like that. I always want to be in a church that's growing, that's moving, that's doing what God would have it to do. But a lot of times when we get God just richly blessed, and if we're not careful, that's some of the most dangerous times that you'll ever be in. Yes, sir. It's true. And the worst thing I could ever get a phone call from Brother BJ say, you know, that church is on fire. And now we're lukewarm. Now listen. These young ones and these young people that you've got, you got to leave them with a hot church. But see, when God's blessing, if we're not careful, we'll start expecting God just to show up next service. We'll forget about praying like we need to. See, we need to realize, hey, we need to stay needy. We need to stay needy. Listen, I'll be honest with you. You need to be on guard more than you've ever been. The devil ain't worried about a church that's cold. He ain't worried about a church that's lukewarm. The one he's going to put, I tell you, he's going to put the scope on, and the crosshairs is going to be a church that's doing something for Jesus where people are getting born again. That's the church that better be on guard. It better be looking out saying, where's he going to come from? How's he going to go? And what are we going to do? And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach on what God told me to preach, and I want you to understand, don't ever let this church become a lukewarm church. Said last night what the characteristics. How do you know when you're getting out of God's will? How do you know that you're going to end up in rebellion? How do you know as you go down them roads? I'm going to preach tonight. How do you know if you're getting lukewarm? How will you know? There's three different groups here. Backbone. Every church got it. Cold, hot, and lukewarm. You say, well, that ain't me. Well, it's been all three of them's been me. I've preached lukewarm. I've preached cold. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. It ain't got nothing to do. The word, you say, well, how does it do? Because the Word of God will take care of itself, but the preacher sometimes ain't where he needs to be. But the Word of God, sometimes it'll bless. Hey, the Word of God's what blesses. The Word of God's what speaks. The Holy Ghost is what speaks. It's not the man. It's the man. It's the Word of God that's coming out of the man. I'll tell you. So I want you to turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. And I want you to pray for me. This is what God wants me to preach tonight. I want to be obedient to Him. And I want you to, if it ain't for tonight, I want you to remember down the road. Because the devil, he really don't want, I was praying about this day. I really don't fear this church ever getting cold. But you fight to the death to make sure it don't get lukewarm. A lukewarm church? Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. It ain't a good place to be. You pray for us tonight. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. If you'd stand in honor of God's word, you pray much that we would do what God would have us to do. And I want you to pray that what I preach tonight is take it into my heart and I list what the Holy Ghost is saying to me just as much as I'm preaching tonight. Verse 14, chapter 3, book of Revelation. The Word of God says this in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I ask you to forgive me of the times, Father, that I'm lukewarm. Father, I ask you to forgive me of the times, Father, that I get lazy, that I'm lethargic. Father, that I come to your house and I'm not ready to worship. I'm not ready to do. Father, I pray you'd forgive me of those times. Father, I do not want to be a lukewarm Christian. Father, I want to be on fire for you. I want to do what you'd call me to do. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd always put a hedge around the backbone of this church. And Father, we know that a lukewarm church will be because the members and the people, Lord, and the officers and different ones become lukewarm. Help us never to go that way. Help us, Lord. God, I pray that the Holy Ghost, Lord, would show us, Lord, if I start going that way, that He would rebuke me, that He would chasten me, He would get me straightened up, because I do not want to be a lukewarm Christian. Not in this world. I want to burn for you till I burn all the way out. And when I'm done, you take me to glory. Father, I love you tonight. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that I'd preach and say everything you'd have me to say, but no more than you'd have me to say, Father. In the precious holy name of Jesus, I pray tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus stand here among the candlesticks, and he's talking about these different churches. Now, we live in a Laodicean church age, but we do not need to be a Laodicean church. And we do not want to ever go that direction. What would that look like? I'll be honest, I was telling this brother back here, I have no idea in here who's saved. I have no idea who's lost. Have no idea. You don't even know if I... Hey, people can fool you. People can fool you. I know I'm saved, watched through the blood of Calvary. I have no idea. I don't know who's wheat. Don't know who's tares. All I do is know this, that the Lord told me and promised me that they'd be there. Yes, sir. I didn't make that up. He told me that. God is blessing this church. I preach in a lot of churches. Look what God's doing in this church. Look what He's done. The Holy Ghost moving. Walk in here, feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Come in here and people, I tell you what, it ain't like, I don't know, but I tell you what, here's the thing about it. If you ain't careful, I tell this our church all the time, if you ain't careful, you'll start taking that for granted. And before long, you know what you'll do? You'll be sitting there and you'll go through the motions, but it won't be from the heart. Don't you take it, don't think that this is happening everywhere. Don't think that this is the way it always is. I'll say this. Don't you even think that it's normal. That it's common. Most churches are cold as a wedge. I preach, they look there, and you know what? They sit there and look at you like you got two heads. I beg you. Do not take it for granted. Because if you do, you may not be cold. You may be worse than that. You may become lukewarm. I've been there. First thing I want you to see right here, see, it talks about that there's two becauses right here. The first because right here is in verse 17, right here, or the second one, and that's not where I'm going to be. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goodness, and have no need of nothing, but and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We have to be careful in America because we are so blessed, but our things are so good, because we're so spoiled. We don't have to really, my grandparents, they told me how they'd have to have prayer meeting just to pray that the rain would fall, so they'd have to have something to eat. I just go anywhere I want to do. I just eat whatever I want to eat. And so things are different. They need to go. We need to make sure that we need Jesus. Always, always be so needy. Be the most neediest person in the world. And if this church will stay needy, God will continue to bless this church. He'll help this church. But never get lazy. Never get lethargic. Always stay needy. We're needy people. I don't even know what. Hey, I need Him every day. I need Him every hour. I need Him every minute. That's the first because. But the second one was this, and this is where we're going to be tonight. The second because right here. So then because in verse 16, thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot I will spew thee out of my mouth. There's only one worse thing than a cold church. And it's a lukewarm church. There's one thing that's worse than a cold Christian. Cold, to me, a cold believer probably ain't a believer. If you're fitting into the cold crowd, I tell you what, you may not know what grace is and you've never been forgiven. Because I tell you what, once the Holy Ghost moves in, He's going to come out. People say, well, He's in there. Where's He at? I tell you, if the God Almighty that sits on the throne of glory, that created everything in this world, if He comes and He swells into my heart, there's something going to happen. There's something going to go. You ain't got to ask. It's going to be there. He's going to be there. The God of all glory is inside of me. But because, see, he says right here, it said, it's because, it said, the Greek word for cold is sucrose, and that means to a freezing point. The Greek word for hot right here is zestos, meaning hot to a boiling point. So you got a freezing point, and you got a boiling point. We need to be a boiling point. We need to be right there is where we need to be. But I want to tell me say this. The truth about being lukewarm and the way you know that you're going that direction or that you're there don't mean you lost, don't mean you saved. It just means you're somewhere in the middle. You could be religious and be a little lukewarm, or you could be lost and be lukewarm, or you could be saved and be lukewarm. See, there's all these things going on there, but the Lord says right here, the truth about being lukewarm is that these Christians right here that are lukewarm Christians, they're content with their walk with the Lord. Don't ever, till the day you die, be content where you are with the Lord. You can be content in your salvation. Hey, we don't need believers going, I used to do this, I used to do that, I used to. I tell you what, the Holy Ghost is the same as He was the day you were saved. I tell you, we need to grow, we need to continue to grow, and we should never continue, we should never quit growing till we get over to the other side. All I'm telling you is this, don't back up. Do not back up. You know how many people would love to have what y'all have? They would love to have what you have. It didn't come overnight, but it can go away. You say, why are you preaching? I have no idea. Do not let it go lukewarm. The truth about being lukewarm. If we're not careful, we get content with our temperature. I'm not hot. I'm not cold. I'm just chilling. Be careful. It can happen to preachers. It can happen to deacons. It can happen to Sunday school teachers. It ain't going to happen. I'm just going to say that. It ain't going to happen to the fringe. We got a fringe. I don't know if y'all got a fringe. In and out, up and down. That ain't where it's going to happen. A lukewarm church will be with a lukewarm backbone. It ain't there right now. If the Holy Ghost told me to tell you that it ain't, you're there. God's working. But I'm just giving you. When you get to this, a lukewarm church will never be a lukewarm church until the members, one by one, begin to be lukewarm. See, it's an attitude of indifference. I preach in churches, I'm going to be honest with you, they don't want to hear preaching. What we see in here, it scare them to death when the whole. You know why? Because they don't know who it is. See, this lukewarm church right here, Laodicea, they had everything they needed, but they just didn't have the Lord working in that. See, they were listless. Listen, when it gets to the point, well, I'm not depressed, but I don't really have joy either. I'm not really down, but I ain't really happy either. It doesn't matter whether I come or I don't come. It just, whatever it is, it's a habit to me. I'm just going to go and I'm going to do. When it becomes a habit, that's when you got to get in the altar. That's when you got to get down. Don't let it be. Your habit and your custom ought to be to come to God's house, but you ought to come in looking for something. Every time you come, you ought to be prayed up, ready to worship, ready to praise. Because if not, you know what you'll start doing? You'll start becoming very lukewarm and you'll just expect, man, the preacher, he better preach. Don't you look about what anybody else is doing. You praise the Lord. If He tells you to praise Him, don't you look at it. You ain't got to charge off of me. You ain't got to charge off of you. We ain't got to jumpstart each other. What we need to do is all of us come in here ready to worship. And if you'll do that, it won't ever become lukewarm. But when you just expect God, God's going to move. God's going to say, that's when it's going to get really, really dangerous. You get really lukewarm. It don't matter what we do. Listen, lukewarm. When it comes to living for Christ, working for Christ, indifference is the hardest attitude to overcome. So what's the traits of being lukewarm? How do you know if you're lukewarm? You don't know if I'm lukewarm tonight or not. You have no idea if I'm lukewarm. You don't know where I am on the temperature. I have no idea where you are. I know that the Holy Ghost is in this place. But wanting to be here. I want when he comes. I don't want to be, listen, I don't want to be a blood clot in the body of Christ. I want him to be able to move through me to help somebody else. I don't want to shove down. Hey, I don't want to hinder. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to grieve. I want him to be able to use me as a tool. I do not want to be. I would rather be dead than be lukewarm. I'd rather be, I've got glory ahead of me. There's a lot of things in my, I want to hit it. I mean, I want to hit the end. I want to hit it running. I want to hit it going. And I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. I've been a lukewarm Christian. I've been a lukewarm preacher. I've been a lukewarm teacher. I've done all those things. It ain't any good. But when the Holy Ghost is working in you, nothing else will ever do. Nothing else will ever do. So what's the trait of one that's not cold or not hot, but just warm? What does it look like? First thing is this. That trait, first thing I notice is there'll be a compromising trait. It'll start, there'll be a compromise start coming on. We've all had to deal with it. I'm just talking to myself tonight. I tell you, we've all had to deal with compromise. We've all had to work at that. But there'll be a compromise trait. See, we'll be if you ain't careful, you'll be a little too hot to be cold. And you'll be a little too cold to be hot. Have one hand in the world. One hand in the church, straddling the fence. That's when the trouble starts. I'm not cold like so-and-so. I'm not hot like so-and-so. I tell you, the only one that we need to make sure we glorify and look up, it ain't about what you do. It ain't about what I do. It's about what God does. And I tell you, He's the one that's always got to be. There is nobody owns a church. There is nobody but Jesus Christ. They ain't a deacon, a preacher. There is nobody owns a church but the one who died and gave His life for it. He owns the church. And if you'll keep Him right there, as you go forward, there is no telling. I'm just going to be honest. There's no telling what God can do with this church. There is no telling what the devil can do in this church. See, lukewarm Christians will become with a lukewarm church, and then you've got a lukewarm community, then you got lukewarm families, then you got lukewarm daddy and lukewarm mama, and all of a sudden everybody's lukewarm. And you know what Jesus said? You're making me throw up. That's right. You say, why are you doing? Hey, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you this. God's got big plans for this place. You got big plans for this place. But I'm going to tell you this. Don't you think for a second that you're running under the radar. Don't you think He's down here. I ain't going to say, well. Don't you think He's down here working on a big cold church somewhere. Just leave them cold. They're doing my job anyway. Religious crowd, don't know Jesus. They cold as a wedge. Don't you, you wear this all. They, you know what the best thing in this whole church is? It's right here. Yes, you wear this thing out. God loves an altar. Yes, God loves people in the altar. Don't you ever forget about it. There's churches now that they're saying they don't even want an altar. I had a preacher tell me who would want to put their face where people walk. Don't tell me that. No, sir. That ain't a good thing to tell me. I tell you what. I need to put my face where my Savior walked. And I need to put my face where He did. I'm going to tell you what. If I can't bow my head before a thrice holy God, I'm going to tell you, I don't care what He says. Don't want the gospel that He preaches. I want to do what God would have me to do. If I have to kneel and bow and put my face where everybody else walks, I'll put my face where the saints have walked and where the saints have bowed, and I'll put my face right there where it's at. I'm going to tell you, don't you come lukewarm. Don't you dare, hey, daddy, don't you dare come lukewarm. Your kids need you. Mama, don't you dare go lukewarm. Your kids need you. Teacher, don't you go lukewarm. Your class needs you. Deacons, don't get lukewarm. This church needs you. BJ, don't get lukewarm. This church needs you. Listen, we need each other, and we need to be doing, listen, come together, stay united like you're doing, but do not become lukewarm. You get a. I had a teacher. had a Sunday school teacher. She's with the Lord now. I ended up being her pastor. She had me when I was real little. That woman get in there, and she'd start looking at us little kids. It wasn't about 4 or 5 of us in this little basement. She'd start teaching, and I can still see her. Only teacher I've ever had like this. She'd start crying over us, and she'd do this. God raised all 5 of them. Him 5 little people, him 5 little old boys, and him 3 little boys, and him 2 little girls. In that class, God brought them all up and used every one of them. We had our problems. But you know what? Don't ever get lukewarm. Don't get to you just go in there and say, I gotta teach again.
No, sir.
No. Lukewarm. Listen, God's got such big things for you. He told me, you know what the good thing about it is? He lets me preach this tonight. And I've got liberty to do it. Because once it's lukewarm, what good is it going to do to preach it then? Right now. Right now. Right now's the time. See, this right here, the compromise right here. Live close enough. Listen, there's going to be people in this time. There's going to be people in the world we live in. There's going to be people. They're going to live close enough to the church to be warm, but they're going to be close enough to the world to stay cold, and they're just going to be lukewarm. In fact, the majority... the majority is going to be lukewarm. I just don't want to be one of them.
Yes,
compromise, the first thing is going to be compromise. The second thing is going to be confusing. It profess to be saved, but there's no sign of it. No evidence of it. In fact, there's no evidence either way. You wouldn't think, listen, it's one of them deals, you ever been this way? You wouldn't think they was lost, but you're just not sure if they're saved. Why? Because they lukewarm. I would think they're saved, but I don't know if they're lost. I'm not sure if I ought to be worshiping with them or witnessing to them. You ever run into that? I don't know if I'm supposed to praise with them or preach to them or plead with them. That's right. You don't know whether you're supposed to give them the Romans road or the right hand of fellowship. Maybe y'all don't have these people like this down here in Alabama. Man, I got them all over North Carolina. They leave out at some churches up there and head to the breweries. They'll meet to have choir practice around the pony keg in Asheville. That's why I don't get to preach in Asheville. They don't like me, I guess. I'm like John the Baptist out in the wilderness somewhere. Listen. Lukewarm people don't help your children. Listen, you've got something. And that's the moving of the Holy Spirit. It's worth more than anything else that this church could possibly ever, ever have. But if it ever turns lukewarm, for a little while you can go through the motions. But there'll be nothing come out of it. You know who's going to suffer from that? Your kids. Hey, I want my kids. Hey, I want my kids to see fire. And I want them to know when it's smoke. I want to know when it's religion or what's real. I tell you, we need to understand we can all become this and it can become so fast. In fact, there's not any evidence either way. You wouldn't even know. And so I want you to understand that there's compromise, confusion, and there's what's going to start with it. You become content. You don't want to be cold. but really don't want to sell out and be hot and just want to coast along in the middle. Somewhere in the way, you don't want to be in the kiddie pool, but you ain't going to jump in at the deep end, so you wait around just in the middle. When you start going that direction, that's when you beg God, light the fire. Light the fire. See, when it comes to life, you know, we have to, it's going to tend on being half in. But when you're half in, you're also half out. I know I'm preaching the backbone tonight. I also know these people that's physically sick, his brother's talking about, they can't be here. And we're thankful if you're sick. Exactly. That's what I tell them. Don't come, we want you, but if you're sick, we don't want you. Listen. It's up to y'all. It ain't up to the preacher. Preachers come and go. So don't you understand? When it comes straddling the feet, not dead, but hey, you know what a lot of times happens? They just they're not dead. And they're not alive, they're kind of on life support. And so they're on life support, and you don't know, are they going to pull the plug? Man, I'm probably getting myself in a mess here. I'm sitting there going, are we supposed to jump on them and do CPR? Are we going to pull the plug? They're laying there, and they got a pulse. And they've got a heartbeat, but I don't know if they're alive or dead because they just on life support. These churches today, they're just on life support because they ain't a pulse, but they still a little bit of breath left in them. Don't ever be that way. Don't ever be that way. I tell you, don't be a life support Christian. Everybody, hey, you let people know. Let people know who your Savior is. You tell, hey, if nobody else wants to praise Him, you just get up and praise Him, and everybody will be like, and maybe some of that will spill off on it. Listen, I got filled by the Holy Ghost one time, but my cup runs over a lot of different times, and I tell you what, some of the best services I've ever been, there wasn't nobody there but me and the Holy Ghost walking around my basement. My best services I've never had never come into a church. I've had some good ones, but I tell you, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and He works in you, I don't need to be fed. Listen, I got all I could get of Him the day I got saved. I just needed to splash out a little bit more. I need to be a hot Christian where it'll boil over and splash out on somebody else. You do what God tells you to do. God tells you to testify, you testify. God tells you to sing, you sing. He tells you to preach, right back and preach. He tells you to teach, teach. He tells you to be a prayer warrior, you pray. He tells you to sing, you sing for Jesus. Whatever He tells you to do, do not be a lukewarm Christian. Be obedient and God will bless you, God will bless your family, and God will bless this church. Don't become lukewarm. Don't become lukewarm. What made Jesus sick? It wasn't a cold church. Ain't that something? You know them single faucets in the bathroom? Y'all gonna think I'm crazy. I sit there look at that faucet. You know what I noticed? I never just push it straight back. Depending on what I'm doing, I either go to the right or I go to the left. I either want it cold or I want it hot. I don't never, y'all think I'm crazy. I don't never just go, let's see what happens. Let's go up and I want to go straight back and I'm going to try to divide it down the middle. I either grab it and I go boom or grab it and I go this way. That's exactly that middle. Don't do nothing for me. You see, you're better off to be cold than to be lukewarm. You know what happens to cold Christians when they get real cold? God, if first saved, God will chasten and He will wear you out till you get back. But it's the lukewarm thing. See, Being halfway in is halfway out. And it's the sickest place to be. To be half-hearted. To half-try. I used to hate when I was playing ball. You're out there trying your best to win. Giving it everything you got. And then I got a guy beside me that's sitting there. I don't really care if we win or lose. You know what? That's when you take your cleat and you just, you know. Yeah. Who wants to do that? I don't want to be on the battlefield, the soldier say, hi, I don't care if we win or not. I don't want to be around a spiritual soldier that don't care if we win or not. I got an 80-some-year-old lady at our church. Christian knows who she is. I would go to war with her. Sit there, she'll start clapping. She'll start clapping, she'll start laughing. You don't know what's getting ready to happen. But I'm going to tell you what. She comes in. She's been on her knees. I tell you, first church I pastored, I had three older ladies in their 80s. They'd meet every Sunday morning to pray for a little preacher because half the time he didn't have a clue what he was going to do. And them little ladies would come in there, one on their walker. Preacher, we met this morning. We're praying for you. You think I had to go in there and try to charge them up to get them ready to worship? One little lady, I'd say, would you dismiss us? God sometimes say, you just ask her. And I was like, I don't know if that's even what I should do or not, but I did. And I'd sit there and watch for 15 seconds as she would get up and she would climb down with them old knees she had, and she'd go all the way down. It'd take her forever. And she'd get down all the way and she'd start crying and asking the Lord to do something. And then I'd see her, she tried to get up. She wouldn't even pray standing. She has the reverence of God. She also had five grandsons, and all five of them pastored. She was an orphan. But you know what? I never looked at her and ever wondered whether she was cold or lukewarm. Oh, I tell you what. Some of these old saints of God, I thank God. Them old ladies. Them old men. I didn't have to sit there and go, I wonder if they're saved or lost. Had a lady with the supermarket. She'd shout the house down if she'd see me. I'd run. I'd see her around the bacon or somewhere. And I'd take off running because I knew if she seen it, she was going to start bragging on Jesus in front of the whole store. And I was about 12 years old. Scared me to death. Oh, my goodness. But you know what she did? She met Jesus. She went out. She had her Bible out. And you know what? She had a massive heart attack. She laid her head down on her Bible. And that's how they found her. That's the way that I want to go. Hey, go out of here hard. If you're going to run, run. If you're going to fight, fight. Whatever you're going to do, you do it to the glory of God. One of these days, you're going to lay it down. You'll lay your sword on the mantle. It'll be over. Do it. Be as hard as you can be. Do what God would have you to do. But don't be content with this world. Don't be content where you are. Keep going forward for Jesus. And He'll bless your church. He'll bless your church. You know, don't ever get. It's okay if I live for Him today, and it's okay if I don't. It's okay if I pray today. But it's okay if I don't have time. It's okay if I read my Bible, but it don't really bother me if I don't. You know what you're heading toward? Lukewarm. Last couple bit on my mind, two things. I'll just share this with you, and I'm done tonight. Holy Spirit whispered in my ear, aren't you glad your Savior didn't do it halfway? I'm such a pitiful creature. You know how many times I've probably serve Jesus halfway. Oh, to just be sold out right in the center of His will. I'm glad my Savior didn't go to the Garden of Gethsemane and drink half the cup. He looked at me, He looked at you, and He said, "Father, is there any way, Ricky, is there any way that Brother BJ can get into glory?" And He said, "There ain't no other way." He looked at that. He said, "What about all them other saints down there at Union Chapel? There any way that they can get in?" He said, "There ain't no other. If can Buddha do it? No, Buddha can't do it. Can Joseph Smith? No, they ain't no. Can they ever be good enough? Can they ever work their way? Can they ever do it?" He said, "No." He said, "Nah." He said, "Then not my will, but thy will be done." And He didn't drink just a little bit of it. He took it and sucked all the way of it dry. And He gave everything He had. I'm glad that He didn't give just half His blood. He gave shed every drop of His blood. And let me tell you this. He didn't spill it. That would have been an accident. He shed every drop of blood. He laid His life down. He took every bit of hell. He didn't take half of death. He didn't take half of grave. He took it all. And He did everything. I'm glad He didn't give me half of the Holy Ghost. He gave me the whole thing. I didn't get half the Word. I got all the promises. He gave me everything. He ain't going to give me half of heaven. He ain't going to give me half mercy, half grace, half forgiveness. He didn't give me He clothed me in a robe of righteousness. He didn't give me just a shirt. And He didn't give me just a pants. He gave me the whole thing and every bit of it. He cleaned every spot. Ain't you glad? He didn't write half my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He could have put Ricky. That'd have been a lot of them. He put Ricky Wolf, 1976, in my hand. No man can pluck him out. I tell you what, He's got all five around Him. They ain't tell you what. I tell you, He didn't do it halfway. He gave me everything I have. I'm going to tell you what, we ought to serve Him. We ought to not ever be lukewarm. We ought to be hot. There's going to be times we're going to have to go back to Him. There's going to be times we're going to have to repent. We're in the flesh, but I'm going to tell you what, with the Holy Ghost in us, He'll lead us that we can be a one. Hey, I don't want my daughters to come walking down or looking at me or standing beside a casket and go up and say, "Boy, I wish Daddy would have done it all the way. I wish he wouldn't have been halfway." I tell you what, I want to leave something for them to say, all in or all out, be cold or hot. But if you're going to get in all the way. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful when the doors is open. Do what God's called you to do, and you'll never regret doing what God would have you to do. I've heard a lot of people that's dying sitting there telling me all the things that they regret, and I've got a lot of them. I tell you what, I won't regret going to God's house. I won't regret taking my children to God's house. I won't be able to dragging them back. I don't regret every bit. I don't regret one time my kids have been in God's house. I've heard a lot of people regret that they didn't have them there. I've never heard anybody say, "I read my Bible too much. Oh, I shouldn't have wasted my time reading the Bible." No, I've heard them a lot say, "I should have stayed in God's Word a whole lot more." You know your prayers are bottled up. Whatever you bottle up here will be going from now on. And there'll be a lot of prayers that's going to be answered. You're going to be on the other side, and they're going to come walking through there, and it's that son or it's that daughter you prayed for so long, and they come walking in there. You'll say, "You know what? God's going to say, hey, that one, those prayers you had bottled up, we opened them up, and guess what? They're there because you prayed." Don't be no lukewarm Christian. You leave it all. Hey, if you're going to play in the game, leave it all on the field. You can't do nothing after you get off the field. I'm glad that He didn't give me just partial eternal security. I got it all. I guess it's been 40 years ago. I was a freshman at App State, and boom. Had a grandfather pastored 55 years, had an uncle pastored. All my grandparents, boys, church doors open. Man, I was in church all the time. And then I walked away. Boy, God could deal with me. It's hard to take that first step or two because the Holy Ghost was so hard on me. But you know what? The more I went, the easier it got. Got myself in a mess. Took me 5 years to get out of it. But there's a boy on my hall. He never gave in. Every Sunday morning, he'd get up while the rest of us was trying to make it. He'd get up and get his Bible and he'd walk. He'd go, "Who wants to go to church with me?" You say, "Man, what a wimpy little guy." No, he's a wrestler. He'd whipped about all of us if he'd wanted to. "Who wants to go to church with me?" For 2 years he did that. Finally, I thought, "I'm going to go." We went to this church. He said, "I just go to different churches." We went in this church and the Holy Ghost wasn't there. It was as cold a church. I thought, you know what I thought? I could come here. And I can come here, man. I could get right in there with these people because they just as wicked as how I'm living. Yeah, because you know what? He's cold. He got up there and done some little devotion. I thought, man, he's just doing a devotion. And come find out there's a message. And I thought, man, I could do this. That guy ain't going to bother me a lick. He's scared to preach on sin. He ain't going to bother me a lick. I can go out there and do whatever I want to do and come in here. Man, I don't know what I was going to do there, but I thought, I can do. Well, the next Sunday, I thought, I'll go. Go again. That church right there, man, I live any way I want to. They could care less. He goes, "We're going to go to a different church." We went out up in Boone, up toward the Virginia line, son, up in the mountains. I don't know where we was at. Little white church. He goes, "I heard this church is a good church." I was sitting there thinking, "Lord, I hope it ain't real good like I'm all used to, because I'm going to get in trouble in this church." Sunday welcomed me coming in there. Man, this guy said, "We're glad you're here." And I was like, uh-oh. Them saints of God, there's some of them praying over in the corner. And I thought, uh-oh. See, that cold church didn't bother me. I went in there. And they said, "Take your red hymnal out and turn to page 57. I thought, "Lord, they're going to sing Amazing Grace." And I remember sitting there. Holy Ghost just brought this back to me. I remember sitting there, man, them saints started singing Amazing Grace. And I was sitting there, and my hands was trembling. And I was trying my best to sing Amazing Grace. But you know what? That tongue that was trying to sing Amazing Grace had been tasting some a lot of things the night before. And it wouldn't come out like it wanted to. And I remember the Lord sitting there going, that man got up there and started preaching. And I sit there and I've held that pew. And I thought, "Lord, if I can get out of here." You know why? One of them was cold as a wedge. But you know what the other one was? They wasn't lukewarm as hot, and I could not handle it. He said, "Who's going to come? Who's walked away?" And I was sitting there, and man, that thing was going. And I was going, "If I could just get out of here." I'll never forget that little church. You know what the Holy Ghost reminded me not long ago about that little church 40 years ago? He said, "Ain't you glad I kept you from joining in with that cold church?" And he said, "Ain't you glad that you was at a place that you couldn't go to the hot church either?" You know that? Because it would bother me. But you know what? To this day, 40 years later, I can still see that preacher. You know what? He loved me enough to preach the truth. But you know, I got to think. But you know what? You know what it was that day? He said, "You go, hey, if you want to sing Amazing Grace, you got to get right. If you want to sing AC/DC, then you stay over here. But you ain't going to be able to listen to AC/DC and Amazing Grace at the same time and drink a shot glass and a cup of communion at the same time." I thank God that the Holy Ghost saved me at night. He wouldn't let me go down that road. He said, "You're either in or you're out." But I thank God I never got to join a cold church or a lukewarm church, because I don't know where I'd be today. You got to choose what you're going to do. There may be somebody here tonight, you're cold. You're lost. Never been saved. You say, "Well, I'm religious." Catholics are religious. They're more religious than you are. Mormons are more religious than we are. They don't play around. They don't drink alcohol. Religion will send you to hell. A relationship will send you to heaven. You may be cold. You say everybody in here thinks I'm saved. I was pretty wrong long ago, and the preacher's wife got saved. I said, "How long have you known that?" She said, "I've known it for 5 years, and I was scared." If you're cold, never been saved, tonight is your night. You say, "I don't want anybody to think." I could care less. Hey, y'all know, y'all have already heard me. I don't care what anybody thinks. You know why? I just care. Hey, the only one that it matters what they think is Jesus. And if you're lost tonight, be saved. You may be hot. You say, "Man, I've never been." Hey, I've never been. You may need to ask the Lord to make sure you stay there. But if you're somewhere in the middle, would you ask the Lord? I've been there. Would you ask the Lord to stir a fire in you like you've never had before? Because here's the thing. If you're lukewarm and the fire don't get stirred, you know what a bunch of water that's lukewarm in a pot will do? If you don't put some fire to it, it will get colder and colder and colder and colder. The only thing you got to do to go from lukewarm to cold is do nothing. Everybody knows where they're at. Everybody knows where they're at. Would you stand tonight?